Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Sometimes when you swim in His presence or get caught up in His glory, it's hard to stand, you know, and that's a good thing. And it's okay to use a crutch, and so I'm using one tonight. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it so much. That's perfect. Why don't we grab that Bible and make it look official? I actually have a couple scriptures I'm going to read. Thanks. Praise you, Jesus. Before I get in there, I'm kind of trapped in this box. Hold on. Okay. Really, I'm just going to hold on. Deb, thank you so much for your heart of worship. You know, I really enjoy the different flows in His river when we worship Him. You know, He's always new and He's always fresh. And, you know, sometimes we get caught up in routine or this is the way we always do it. And, you know, that's not God. That's just not Him. You know, He has certain things that that are protocol, that He, well, they're commandments too, that He doesn't budge on, but sometimes we get too rigid and religious in the way we think we should worship or spend time in His presence. And it's good to mix things up with Him. And He really delights in that. And, you know, I'm just so thankful for time to rest in His presence. You know, it doesn't have to be at a service. It can be any time, 24/7, when we decide to just check into Him or just acknowledge His goodness. He's always waiting for us, and there is no one else like that. You know, your spouse can't do that. If they're sleeping, how are they going to know? If you're looking for it from your kids, you may get it one day, but the next day they might be mad at you because you didn't do something. But God is so faithful and so steadfast in His love, and yet He does give correction and direction along the way, and isn't that the way it's supposed to be? You know, I love correction, and I love direction, and I just love His Word. It is so full of life and direction, and I think I said that already, but it brings truth out of me. It brings truth, puts truth in me, and brings truth out of me. It's like a standard that can't move. It'll never move. His Word is so true, and when situations or circumstances come our way, or a wave, or a little trial or tribulation comes our way, we can stand on the Word of God and walk in victory if we yield it as a sword or speak the promises out loud. That's how you win a war. That and so on, lots of love along the way. It's easy to get in a mudslinging match. It's a discipline to choose to love over being right or wrong or trying to prove your point. There's a lot of people trying to prove points, and to me, it's pointless. It's funny when people try to fight with me. I don't even know they're doing it. So it's pretty easy to win with me because I don't even know. You know, so you win by default, but in the natural, that is. But in the spirit, you know, that there is a place in God. And we're gonna go there tonight. When I was sitting here and I said, Lord, give me a scripture. And He gave me Psalm 27. And most of you know that, but I'm gonna read it to you tonight. Part of it anyway. Oh no, my bookmark's gone. Oh, there it is. This is David. David wrote this, sang it, believed it, lived it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I'm going to stop right there. So I love this part of the scriptures because this is like a way of rest in him when your enemies are trying to attack you. You know, this is like the spiritual way of how to deal with life's problems and trials instead of flinging or, you know, gossiping or pointing fingers or any of that. The Lord is my delight. He's my salvation. Who shall I fear? Certainly none of this stuff in the earth. It has no hold on me, and it never will, because God has showed me through his promises, through his word, how to walk in victory. And so when the enemy, the little imp, tries to throw a little sand or try to trip my foot up, I am going to delight in the shelter of God. I am going to hide in his presence because that's where safety is. Nobody can touch me. Nobody can touch me in God. But if I choose to flesh out and engage in a fight, well, then I'm really out of the umbrella of protection and I'm in my flesh so I can duke it out and prove a point and win. But really, I've lost the peace of God, the anchor of my soul, because I'm trying to prove my prideful fleshy self has to win. And I just think it's a funny parable because oftentimes we can practice on this, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why God, you know, he's got such a great sense of humor. He knows our innards, doesn't he? He knows what we're made of. And so when we blow it or even attempt to make things right or correct it, he knows. He knows who we are and he knows our heart and he knows the situation. And that's why it's so important. I see people whispering left and right in here. That's you. I see the victory is the Holy Spirit. You know, we all are filled with the Holy Spirit. I hope you're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not, please come see us afterwards. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's the Spirit of truth. He leads and guides us into all truth. And he knows the victory. He knows the pathway so you don't get caught up in the snares of the enemy or the tribulation or the trial that tries to come our way. There is a place in God where he is calling us all, and it's the rivers of his peace where we can rest. And now if I say, and float in the river, some people get weird. Listen, his presence drenches us if we yield. I talk often about lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Because I struggled with that so much in my life, trusting God. That was, to me, one of the hardest things that I had to yield to, was trusting the unseen realm, trusting the unseen God, trusting the word of God. And it was the biggest fight against the enemy, against my life, because there's power when we yield to his trust and the Holy Spirit. That's where the victory is. And so for me, I have had lots of practice leaning not on my own understanding, you know. and because who doesn't think they're right? We're born in the flesh, so we think we're right about everything. And truthfully, most of it doesn't matter. 3 weeks ago, you look back. Wait, did I say it wrong? Think back 3 weeks ago what you were trying to prove your point on. Can you even remember it? Can you remember the victory of the fight you won? I mean, no. You're on to the next victory or the next challenge. Listen, none of this matters, and it's all deception and trickery. It's to keep us out of resting in the presence of God, where we, you know, every one of us has, you know, there's scripture that says your citizenship is in heaven. You know, we are born, when you're born again, your citizenship is in heaven, and we're dual citizens. We live on earth, but we rule and reign from heaven. And most people rule and reign in what they see in front of them and sometimes look at the word and maybe justify why they're not going to follow it or whatever. But there is a way to walk in peace, in God, in victory every day. And I love a good victory. Don't you love a good victory? I like to look at the victories in the day that he did. And I like to acknowledge him for what he did. I don't take anything he does for granted. And if I do, shake me up, Lord, because I want to always give thanks to you because he's so great. And so, you know, as things grow darker, they're growing brighter. There's a conflict. And you can choose to look at the darkness and how bad things might be out there. I got a text or an email the other day. I asked a question, and I'm so oblivious to most things. I don't watch the news. I choose not to. You know, I used to say, well, I'm going to watch it because I want to pray over it. But I found it was starting to cause my heart to... Yeah, I was losing my edge in the spirit, and it was like seeds coming in that were not that good seeds. You know what, God, you tell me what to pray on. I don't need to watch the news to find out what to pray on. I'll take my assignment from you, not from the news. And so I reached out to somebody and asked a question, and they said, well, it's because of, you know, the world's coming to an end, basically, is what it was. And I said, wait a minute, what did I miss? You know, wait. And I thought it was funny because, you know what? I love Jesus. And if he came back today, I'd be on my face worshiping him. I'm out of here. So why waste the time and get all caught up on when is he coming? No man knows. No man knows. We're not smart enough to figure it out. He's keeping it a secret for a reason. I'm thinking of when they built the Tower of Babel, same thing. You know, we are prone to exalt ourselves with our great wisdom and knowledge of whatever it is, whatever scripture or puffery that we choose to go down. But be careful of pride and judgment, because we all are going to stand before him. I have a feeling we won't even be able to stand. I think we'll be on our faces. And we give an account for everything. And you know, I talk on this because it's a scary thing. If you want to be scared about something, don't be scared about if you'll have enough beans. Be scared of, you know, did I say something I shouldn't have? And yes, I have. You know, yes, I have. And I repent often. You know, am I judging someone? Help me, Lord. Let me see your heart on the matter. You know, give me your heart on it. I don't need to have an opinion. And so as things are growing in the spirit, you know, this is like the best time to be alive. He picked us for this season. It's wonderful. But we have to become equipped. And we can't become equipped from following a program or going to a church. The way you get equipped is through spending time in the Word and listening to the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, when you attend to him, your oil lamp fills. You know, you become a substance that's greater than a substance in the earth. You know, your spirit man grows bigger and bigger. Your muscles in the spirit grow bigger and bigger. And you'll be able to be one of those that he uses to sway the course of events in any direction. Because we know the ending, but there's a lot of curves before we get there. You know what I'm saying? And we have the authority to speak life and death. And it's important that we are not moved by what's going on in this earth. Because if you're paying attention to what's... And I'm not saying turn a blind eye, but I'm saying listen in the spirit. Build your spirit muscles and get it from him without the filters of the manipulation of what the news media is trying to get us to believe. You know, when we were just talking about this a couple days ago. When somebody's goes through a divorce, you know, you hear their side of the story and you think, oh my gosh, you poor thing. But then you see the other person and you hear their side of the story and you think, oh my gosh, you poor thing. You know? It's the same thing with a church split. Oh my gosh, that church is terrible. Oh my gosh, the spinoff is terrible. Listen, none of it matters. What's going on in our hearts is what matters. And how we handle what we hear We have to be careful what we speak. We're agents of Jesus Christ. We're representatives of the kingdom of God. We're ambassadors. We have so much pull and so much authority, we need to get a hold of what that really means and start doing what he says to do. I only do what I see my Father doing. We have to really start practicing on now, this is not me, that I heard this in the Spirit, boning up on what he's doing. I don't know what that means, but it sounds important. So when we sit with him, he's going to give us the plans that he, or the commission or the assignment, and we'll say yes or no, or we'll pretend we didn't hear him. There's not that many options. And so a lot of times we say, yes, whatever you say, Jesus, we'll do anything. And so we start and we plow through with him. Sometimes we get ahead of him, sometimes we get behind him, and sometimes somebody comes and tries to take us out in between. And so that's why we have to be shrewd and spend time in his presence. Seek his face while he may be found. And so one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now that doesn't mean when you go home. All the days. Are you alive right now? Do you have a life? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises of the Lord. There are so many keys in here. First of all, if you enter the place of rest, where you're really resting in him and communing with him, nothing can touch you. Nothing. And you know all things because you're in him. There's such a fight to keep us from that place in God because of all the cares in the world and distractions and the what-ifs and, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can handle blah, 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 or I never have time. All the I nevers or I wish. But once you connect in the Spirit, there is a bond. It's like super glue times bazillion. It cannot undo. He can't undo himself from us. And so the fight is trying to enter that place of rest. And so as we rest in him, we get the wisdom of him, and we know all things. And so as we're resting in him, the enemy doesn't like that, and sometimes people don't like it. You know, you got chores to do, get up, whatever, you know. But here it is. He shall hide me in his pavilion in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. So when your head is lifted up above your enemies all around you, you're not at their level of engagement. So when you're seated above, your head's lifted up above, you see things in a higher, think about it, if you're down low, you can't see that far, you see the chairs and that's about it. If you're up high, you see clearly the strategies and the wisdom of God to help us stay on track and fulfill what we're supposed to do here on earth. Does that make sense so far? I see him moving distractions out of the way or making them like billboards where you can see, oh my gosh, this is nothing. I see him showing you strategies that you've fallen over to or under because you just didn't know. It was trickery. And I see him wanting to bring us up higher to a greater level of authority in him. And so it's some people I see in here have little like chains wrapped around their legs and arms, and it's bondage holding us back, or you back, from fulfilling or walking into the Great Commission that God has for you. And some of it was through trickery and you just didn't know better, but I feel like the Holy Spirit is like shaking us right now and like getting us to go, oh my gosh, what was I even doing dusting this bookshelf? I don't even dust, you know, like stuff that we normally wouldn't do, but we're doing out of being dull. It's like I see him waking us up and shaking the dust off us so that we will come alive in him and get back on track. Sometimes we do get off track. Sometimes it happens. And when we do, you know, my favorite prayer is, Lord, here I am again, help me. You know, how did this happen? And show me where I need to be right now. And he does. He often shows me, you know, it used to go on for months, years. Now it's just, you know, short stunts of, oh, I'm off a little, and here I am again, Lord, help me. And so he does. And but I see him wanting us to come up higher. And so some of you might want to do a little proclamation of, you know, oh my gosh, I didn't see this till now. Lord, I'm so sorry, will you help me? I'm choosing to push away all that debris, and I'm choosing to follow you. Here I am again, Lord, help me. So you could just quietly say that if you need to, and if you don't, praise the Lord. I feel like this is one of those get right with Jesus moments, I think they call them. You know, we used to do like open up the altars in Bristol, you know, people would come up and just get right with Jesus. But I think you can just do it right where you're at in your seat. And, you know, there's like a washing that's going on, that's taking place, where films of old, dusty, rusty thinking is like being, where you're like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm done with that. Lord, I'm going after you with all I have. And show me what that looks like. And so, you know, I'm hearing a couple things. I'm hearing all hands on deck, and I'm seeing some waves coming, but if you're in him, you'll be fine. And so, but if you're out of him and like, you know, busy weeding your garden or just hanging out, you know, painting or whatever you do, or coffee clutching, when the wave comes, if you're not in him, you're going to be surprised by it. And, you know, he does talk to his beloved. He does tell his friends what he's doing. And that's a really cool thing. You know, he did it with Abraham. Why wouldn't he do it with you? And so, but are you listening? You know, he doesn't casually tell these things. It's in communication, in conversation that is longer than, what are we doing today, God? And then, boom, off I go, or off you go. Does that make sense? So, I'm seeing some stuff being built in the spirit, and I'm also seeing stuff that looks like it's being built in the natural, but it's really by the spirit, and it's in the spirit. And when I was sitting here earlier, the Lord reminded me of idolatry. And before I knew Jesus, I was like probably one of the biggest idolatry junkies there was. You know, I had toys and empires and properties, and you know, I was lied to. I went after the American dream, and it wasn't the dream, it was bondage, but I didn't know it. And when I recognized what it was, I repented and asked the Lord to make things right in my life, and slowly he dismantled all the idolatry and images and all the junk that I had accumulated. And when you say, I'm not doing that anymore, I'm going after you, you know, he'll test our hearts, not to see, you know, are we going to blow it or make it, but he's just trying to make sure that we've got him first. And so he'll put like weird things in our place, little baits or tricks to try to get us, not, God doesn't do that, the enemy does it, to get us to bite. But the Lord is watching our hearts, and he already is pleased with our heart. You know, he loves our heart. And so one of the things that I've seen and that I see that's happening is when you die to an idol or a dream, you really are dead to it and you just don't care about it anymore. And, you know, my dream and my idols were houses and properties. I was really big into owning it all. And when I realized that that was idolatry, I just was like, I am sorry. And so I just let it all go, dropped it. And a few years went by, and the Lord said to me, you know, I was in a season of sitting in him a lot, you know. I was not working. I was like in the middle of a huge transition. And I'll never forget the day I was sitting in this rocking chair watching the fire, just sitting burning the fire and just praying and worshiping and just really enjoying the time with Jesus. And he said to me, I want you to start a company. And I had companies. And I was like, the blood of Jesus, you know, that can't be you, because all this time you've told me to let it all go, let it all go, let it all go, let it all go. And now when I'm not expecting anything or even thinking about it, it's like a faint memory, start a business. And I'm like, start a business? And I was very surprised by it, but I also know God knows what's best, and I don't. And so I sat on it for a while and talked things through with him, and he had me start a company, and it was called Cornerstone Property Solutions. And he said to me, what are you really good at? And I'm like, that's a trick question. I'm not answering it, you know. And what he was trying to get me to recognize is I'm really good with real estate, but I had died to all that. And so I'm like, oh, what are you saying? And he was trying to pull out any slivers I had left of unbelief or just wrong thinking in there. And because I still hadn't trusted him 100%. You know, I was trying, and I'm in the process of leaning not on my own understanding and acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I was like practicing. And so as I'm in the middle of this practice life season, he tells me to start a business. And so I know how to start a business, and I know how to run a business, but I knew this was different because it was going to be birthed out of the Spirit because he told me to do it. I didn't come up with this great big idea. And so because he told me to do that, I had to ask him every step of the way, how do you want this to work? What are you saying here? And I'm a get her done type of girl. And so he's trying to train me to go slow and steady and don't do it in the flesh. And so I really had to listen and wait and wait and wait. And he'd give me a little piece, not the whole plan. And I'm going somewhere with this, so bear with me. And so as I'm learning to rest in him, he'd give me a little bit to do, and I would do it. You know, fill out the paperwork for your LLC. Okay. But when I would fill out the paperwork, I'd say, what do you want me to put here? Because you're the owner. How does that work? You own this business. I don't. I'm just stewarding it. And so I would have to ask him those questions. And then I'm like, what kind of business is this? Because he didn't even tell me what I'm going to be doing. You know, he just said, it's called this, and this is, you know, start it. Well, it turned out, I can't remember the exact way it happened, but he ended up getting me hooked up with HUD homes, contracts for HUD homes, cleaning when back in the foreclosure days. And so when I started that business, I was a one-person employee with the Holy Ghost. We did it together. And I got a contract with a big company, a big bank thing. And when they gave me the work orders, I was able to do it because the level I was at the beginning level. I didn't have 10 employees right away. I didn't have bookkeepers right away. I had me and the Holy Ghost saying, what are we doing now? And then I would get the work order and I would say, how do you want to do this? Which ones do you want to do first? Where do you want to go first? In the natural, I could have said, oh, go to 5th and Main. Okay, and then, no. Let's do what you're doing. Show me. And so he was able to teach me this flow of walk of the Spirit and listening, and he was brilliant. And he saved me a lot of headaches and a lot of trouble. And so from there, the base of the business was built. I didn't know the future of it. I just knew the base. Then the work orders kept increasing. And I had to learn how to do uploads and all that stuff. And my kids were helping me back in those days. And so it was a family business. And then the work became greater and greater, and I was able to hire contractors. And he told me how to do that. And so I followed what he said, and we did it together. And the whole company was his. And so, you know, anything that I'm doing for him, I'm going to sew out of, because everything belongs to him anyway. So I'm sewing off the income of the business, and not off the net, off the gross, because it's all his. And if you're a business owner, you know you can write a lot of stuff off. So that's a stretch. That was a stretch for me to, okay, I trust you in this too. You're gross. You get the whole thing. The whole thing. It's all yours. And so from there, then he brought me a bookkeeper, because it became too much for me to keep up with everything. And the business was doing very well. And I don't know how many years we did it, but I'll never forget the day when I'm on vacation and he says, close the doors, you're done. And I'm like, what? He's like, we're done with this chapter. Okay, and you know, one of my employees that was working for me was on vacation, and I'm like, can I wait to tell that person until they get back from vacation? I don't want to ruin their trip, you know? So he's like, you can wait. And so I didn't know why he told me that we're done with the HUD homes. So I called and gave notice with my the contracting company that I was working with, and told everybody, because it was a God's country company, so I'm like, God said we're done, and they're like, okay. They're all like, okay, because, you know, it's God's company. We didn't know what. We got together, we met, and we prayed, trying to get it out of him, what he was doing. He didn't say a word. And we did it a couple times. We had prayer meetings trying to figure it out, not a word. So we lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. A couple months go by, and I get a call from a different contractor, big head company, saying, will you service our contracts? So, okay, there's more knock at the door. And I'm like, Lord, he said no. I'm like, okay. And so I find out from that company that the company I used to deal with stopped paying their contractors. So I would have been responsible for the payroll of my employees, and I would have had no income to cover that, because, you know, they paid once a month and they just stopped. They just stopped paying people. And so God knew ahead of time that this was going to happen, and he saved me the heartache. So he protected me completely, and there was no fallout. We just walked away. We took our tools and left, and you know, and that was it. And we left with the full pockets of money. It wasn't like, oh, we're behind. No, we're like, it's time to move. Okay, cloud's going, we're going. Pillar's going, we're going. And I'm saying that because there's people in here who God has given you the vision of a business in the natural. It's a spiritual business. It's God's company. You work for the Lord, but you steward it, and you have employees, and some of you are going to have employees, but the enemy is sowing seeds of destruction to try to block what the Lord is doing. And I'm going to challenge you to say, Lord, help me lean not on my own understanding. What are you doing? What's going on here? And if he says nothing, try not to figure it out. He will show you, but there's always a season of waiting and trusting. And so I'm just letting you know, if God has given you the vision, stand firm in what it is. And when the enemy says, hey, no, I got this, you want to come and do this instead? Stand firm in the vision. Even though it may look like the revision is better over here, it never is. It's a fake counterfeit of what God has for us. If you serve God with all your heart, and you sow into the kingdom of God your whole heart, he will take care of you. You know why? Because you're his. He's obligated. He's your dad. And he will never withhold anything good. Never. But we get in trouble when we think we know best, because we've done it before this way, or it's always worked this way. Listen, we're in a season of great transition in the earth, the realm, with monies and technology and all kinds of advancements. And if you're still operating by your old system of understanding, ask the Lord to give you a fresh encounter of the vision he has given you. Ask him for the upgrade. Ask him for, you know, because some of you are going to be building on this. I see in here a couple of people, there's a business and it's your platform, but you're going higher. It's shifting. It's not that you're leaving that old business, it's you're changing the old business. And so be encouraged, don't be discouraged. Discouragement comes from the enemy. And I know who the comforter is, and he's always encouraging. But we have to go to him and rest in him without, oh my gosh, I can't figure this out. How is this going to work? I just don't know. Well, of course you don't. But he does. You know, it's similar to when someone comes up for prayer, and please don't get mad. You know, they come up and they're in the prayer line and they want to hear a word from God, but they're, and it's like, calm me downy, receive mode. Let him speak to you. Just chill. Open yourself up and receive what the Lord has. But that's just another rabbit trail. But so I just want to give encouragement, because there's excitement in the spirit of what God's doing right now. Don't get caught up in the, it don't look so good. Because you know what? Where you look is where you go. It's the truth. What you eat, you speak, so to speak. You know? So I had to make decisions to close down a lot of gateways, because I want to hear it pure from him. I don't want to have some seed of something. It could be good, but if it's not God, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't need to have worry in my life, because I don't have worry in my life. But if I open the door to it, it'll come in. Right. And then it'll be like visiting me at night. Who wants that? Right. No way. So, okay, who's got worry in here? If you have worry in here, yeah, I see it. If you have worry in here, let's deal with that. Let's close the door on that. First of all, worry is from the enemy and your flesh. It's not of God, okay? Now, if you have worry, there's a reason. And it's because you've opened the door to doubt and you're listening to the wrong voice. And one of you is like, no, I listen to the word all the time. But you're not. It's on, but it's like a dull noise in the background. Worry is louder than the word of God. They both are competing. But one is full of life and one is full of death. Which are you going to eat? So, let's just deal with worry. I know there's a couple people in here. Do you want me to call you out or not? No, I heard the Lord say no. Okay. panic. No, I'm kidding. Okay, now we have worry and panic. No. Oh, that's so funny. Lord, you crack me up. Okay. First of all, I break panic off of anybody. If that thing tried to attach, that is not of God, okay? So I want breakthrough tonight, and so right now we banish panic from this room, and we release the fresh joy of the Lord, hallelujah, into our hearts, into our souls, into our minds, into our bodies. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Chew on that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay. Right now, if you struggle from worry, and this could be bills, kids, relationships, anything, financial, end of the world stuff, can of beans stuff, whatever, car issues, if you are struggling with worry or even feel like there's a threat of worry in your heart, right now, let's just do like a proclamation. Father, thank you for tonight. I didn't really recognize until right now that I am actually allowing a spirit of fear and worry to taunt and sometimes torment me. Right now, I recognize that foul spirit, and I call you out. Leave right now in the name of Jesus. You have no hold. You have no legal right. And I pour the blood of Jesus over that area. I ask Jesus to do what's right. And I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going to let him, because I'm going to learn to trust him in all my ways. By the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, help me. I'm not falling to that trap again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I break every word, every thought, and every murmur, and anything that I looked at that would cause the opening for worry to come. I break off it right now. I renounce it, and I choose life and God's blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Just looking. I'm going to just read. You know, I love Proverbs 3 because I love, I mean, this, I wore this around my neck until it went inside me. And I just want to read, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. It goes on, but I'm going to stop there. I'm going to challenge you to visit Proverbs 3 and really spend some time sitting and open it up. Get the Bible, the hard copy Bible, and open it up. Sit with it and let the Word minister to you. I know we get so caught up in the technology and the, you know, I could just read it on my phone. But sometimes the weightiness of the Word in your lap, you know, there's something to it. I like technology, but I like a hard old, hard body. I just love this. It's, you know, I don't hear the heartbeat when it's on my, on a device, but I hear it. When I put my hand on it, I can feel the heartbeat of God and his Word, but I don't feel it when it's on an app, and I don't know why, but I'm just going to challenge you to shake things up a little bit, do things a little different, and be open to his blessings. Amen?
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.